32, the real problem. Don't ignore the real problem. It is easy to lay Christianity out in a logical and reasonable way, and yet there are some questions that need to be addressed. Why in these 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth have so few people wholeheartedly embraced his teachings? Why do people like you and me, who want to follow his way more closely, struggle so monumentally and consistently to do so? What is the problem? Paul wrote, "I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." Romans chapter 7, verse 19. This is the essential dilemma every Christian faces when we try to walk with God and live the teachings of Jesus Christ. So what is the real problem? Watch the evening news, and you will quickly come to the conclusion that the world is a bit of a mess. I don't know anyone who would say, "The world is moving in a great direction." As a parent of young children, I'm concerned about the world they will inherit. Many grandparents try not to think about the world their grandchildren will experience because it makes them too anxious. They have seen enough of the change to recognize just how disturbing the trends are. How did the world get to be a mess? Do you want the truth or some sugar-coated answer? Lots of people could give you lots of different reasons, answers, and excuses, but most of them would focus on only one aspect of the mess. They would talk about suffering and death, the collapse of the family, poverty and economic turmoil, or environmental breakdown. But these are all just symptoms. What's the disease? If you get the flu, your symptoms may be a sore throat, a hacking cough, a fever, a running nose, and aches and pains. But the only way to fix the symptoms is to cure the disease. But let's get back to the question. How did the world get to be a mess? The big answer, the macro answer, is that people are sinful and they turn their backs on God. Sin is the disease. Sin is the real problem. And the truth is, sin makes us unhappy. God never intended for us to suffer and die. His original idea was for us to live in paradise forever. God's original plan was forever reigning peace between him, man, and the environment, and harmony between all men and women. Suffering and death are a direct result of sin. Think about Gideon in the book of Judges. This whole book of the Bible is a series of stories that illustrate the Israelites turning away from God and then turning back to God. Each time they embraced sin and turned away from God, their lives became miserable. Each time they turned their backs on God, they fell into another form of slavery. Sin always leads to slavery of one kind or another. But each time the Israelites turned back to God, they experienced peace and prosperity. The same thing happens to us. When we turn away from God, our lives become miserable. Sure, there may be pleasure to be had in the moment, but the pleasure is fleeting. It's not sustainable. And after the pleasure of sin has faded, there is just the misery it inevitably leaves behind. And every sin makes the world a little bit more of a mess. Sin and evil are real, and they are not something that is out there. They are in you and me. We each have the capacity for tremendous virtue and good, but we also have the capacity for sin and evil. These things are in us, and we have to come to terms with them if we're going to live life to the fullest the way God wants us to. So what is sin? The Greek word for sin in the New Testament means to miss the mark. If you were shooting an arrow at a target, this means that you would not only miss the bullseye, but you'd miss the whole target. Every sin, large or small, is in some measure a rejection of the best version of ourselves. Sin is usually spoken about as a behavior that is wrong or immoral. And it is. But the only way to truly understand sin is in the context of the relationship between God and humanity. God is infinitely good, and all his works are good. It is out of his goodness that he created us in his image and for good. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 31. Sin is more than just bad behavior. It is the rejection or destruction of something good. You cannot reject and destroy something that is good without rejecting goodness itself. God is goodness. And so every sin is in some way a rejection of God. This is why the most devastating dimension of sin is separation from God. Sin breaks down our relationship with him, puts obstacles between us and him. We have a long history of turning away from God, offending him, and rejecting his goodness. This is where Jesus enters the story. The central claims of Christianity are that God became man in Jesus, that he died on the cross to atone for our sins, and that he rose from the dead to liberate us from death. But Jesus also came to show us the best way to live. Nobody can teach you more about the best way to live than Jesus. Try this. Read the Gospel of Matthew. As you read about what Jesus taught, ask yourself, are these the solutions to the mess the world is in today? I think you will discover that Jesus has the antidote to the world's mess. Jesus is the solution. What does this mean to you and me? It is easy to say the world is a mess, but the thing is, the more I become aware of who I really am, the more I discover that I'm a bit of a mess too. I do things every day that don't help me to become the best version of myself. And most of the time, I don't actually want to do these things. Just like Paul wrote, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Romans chapter 7, verse 19. I am capable of incredible good, but sometimes I turn my back on God and his goodness. Sometimes I do it because I am stubborn, and other times because I am lazy. Sometimes I turn my back on God and his goodness because the right path just seems too hard, and other times because I am selfish and just want what I want. The truth is, I am a sinner, and sinners need a savior. The world is a mess, and I am a mess, but Jesus came to fix the mess. That's good news. The problem is sin. We don't like to talk about it, but that only leaves us tinkering with things that are inconsequential, trying hopelessly to make our lives better while ignoring the real problem. If we don't talk about sin, really talk about it, and understand how it affects us and our lives, we cannot begin to solve the problems of our lives or the problems of the world. If we put sin aside, we find ourselves constantly dealing with the symptoms rather than addressing the disease. What are the top 10 problems in the world today? Make a list. We could argue about the order, and maybe our list would vary a little, but essentially, we are likely to agree on the world's biggest problems. These are all just symptoms. Sin is the disease. Science, politics, economics, and activism cannot solve the problem of sin. What are the dominant problems in your own life? How are they connected to sin? There is a cause and effect relationship between symptom and disease, between the problems of our lives and of the world and sin. So if sin is the problem, what is the solution? The answer isn't what, but who. Jesus is the solution. It is impossible to speak honestly about Jesus without speaking about sin. That doesn't mean we have to start with it, but sooner or later, if we are really going to make any progress, the conversation must turn to sin, and not just in a sterile and academic way, but in a deeply personal way. Sin is deeply personal. It is also impossible to make sense of Jesus without considering sin. It was sin that fractured humanity's relationship with God and continues to. Jesus came to reconcile the human family to God. He accomplished this by dying for our sins. We brush over this idea because we are so familiar with it. But ask someone who has had a soul-crushing debt forgiven, and he will tell you about the overwhelming gratitude he felt and continues to feel for being given a second chance. The brutal death of Jesus on the cross is worthy of our deep reflection. The temptation is to look away, to walk away, just as we look away from our sin. There are times when we feel that God is not with us, but in fact, the complete opposite is true. We are not with God. It isn't that God has abandoned us, but rather that we have abandoned God. Have you wanted to stop listening to this audiobook during this section? We have a natural aversion to speaking of sin. It's normal. We have a tendency to run from our sin and hide from our shame. But what we are running from is nowhere near as important as what we are running toward. Let us run toward Jesus. So yes, the problem is sin. It is not a problem that is out there somewhere. It is not someone else's problem. It is my problem and your problem. It is something we must each decide to wrestle with. You can try to run from it like a coward, but sooner or later, you will discover that it is an exercise in futility. You cannot run from yourself. You can confront this problem with all the courage you can muster and wrestle with it with all your might, and still there will be days when it beats you down. On those days, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and begin again. Point to ponder. Sin makes you unhappy. Verse to live. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Psalm 51, verse 12. Question to consider. What are your three most frequent sins? Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me and save me from my sins.